Hey, and welcome. It's We Watch Stuff 107. I guess you should have looked it up. Pretty sure it's 107. I'm Jeremy. Shahid's with me. And this is a spoiler-free edition because neither of us have seen Spider-Man yet. So that's what we were talking about right before we got off the air. First, how's it going? And then what were you saying about Spider-Man?
This is the first Marvel movie I can remember in a long time where I had the opportunity to see it on the opening Thursday. And I'm declining to see it. And it's because my wife wants to see it with me, and the earliest she can see it Saturday. And for whatever reason, I'm like, I can wait. And I don't know if it's not an affront to the movie, because I'm looking forward to seeing the movie, but this one always felt like this whole, I don't have, you know, like, I'll see it when I see it. Mm-hmm. Not that I have to be here opening night. And it's weird. I don't know why I feel that way. And I felt that way for a while, and I can't put my finger on it.
I think part of it for me is, one, as Kevin said, this is the 1 billionth remake of Spider-Man. And then we already saw him. That's another part of it. And then, again, it's like, well, yeah, we've already gotten Spider-Man a bunch of times. I understand it's a different version, but if it wasn't for Civil War, maybe I'd be more gung-ho to go see it. But we've already seen him in action. We already kind of know the kid. We know Aunt May, so which will help this one. I hope, but yeah, it's
I thought about that, but then it's like that's never stopped me from seeing other sequels, like or seeing, like you know, like when the next Batman movie comes out. You know, by that time we were seeing Batman and Batman versus Superman and Justice League. I'm still gonna be there like as early as possible, and when it's been like other characters, I've still gone there. I don't know. Maybe it might be part of it. It might just be. Like, put it this way, like, if my wife was working the day shift and she was off, I'd definitely see it tonight. But she wants to see it with me, and normally I'm like, I'll just see it twice. But for this case, it's like, you know, it'll be there Saturday, and I'm not really worried about spoilers that much. And I think it's because it's a lower-stakes movie, which is kind of good. Like, all the reviews I've heard is, like, the main three things I heard is, like, he's great as Spider-Man, it's a lower-stake movie. And, like Rotten Tomato, I think it's, like, 92-93%. Like, it's basically, like, it's a very good to great movie. So knowing that's kind of like, I can wait till Saturday to see it instead of having to be there Thursday with the nerds.
Yeah, see, I'm going Sunday with my dad because Elise doesn't want to see it. And my mom doesn't want to see it. So, like, all right, perfect, we'll go. And, I mean, that's fine. I know spoilers already making its way online. Some of the headlines kind of gave some stuff away. I don't know what you've seen. But, I mean, I've only seen the headlines. I don't know what characters they're talking about. But
yeah, I haven't seen any. Okay. And I've been. And it's funny where even if I go on Twitter and stuff, like, I rarely see spoilers on Twitter. If I see a spoiler, it'll be like on a website or something like that. And I kind of know what websites to avoid when that happens. And it's usually if you go in the comment section, which I definitely avoid doing.
Well, apparently an old character from one of the old Marvel movies comes back in Spider-Man. And I'm purposely being vague.
Well, and, you did a great job.
Yeah, so it's supposed to be a surprising one, which, okay, I don't know who it would be, don't, you know, whatever. But other than that, I guess there's your usual Marvel credits scenes, mid-credit scenes, after-credit scenes. I guess there's three of them. Something like that. So, but just like everyone's already realized, with a Marvel movie, you have credit scenes. That's just how it works.
Yeah.
Which was funny, because I know we're going to talk about Wonder Woman in a second, but I get a text Monday at like 11:20, and it's Kevin, and he goes, "Hey, are there credits after Wonder Woman?" And I'm like, "What?" I'm like, why aren't you doing the Raw review first off? And then second, no. It's like, did you even listen to our show? We already said there isn't. And then I just wrote nope. So
yeah, I mean, it has been a while since we've done this show, and it's kind of like it's like Marvel movies, you know, do it. DC movies, you know, but then everybody else is kind of like some do, some don't. Because like the Fox movies, some of them have done it, some of them haven't. I know Godzilla movies, like. the second one did, like the King Kong movie, they did it, but you wouldn't expect that from a... The only reason I knew that is because I looked online, but other than that, I wouldn't... And I kind of like knowing there's going to be a King Kong versus Godzilla movie, but it's like, it's a lot of... I'll tell you this, I didn't see the first Iron Man teaser, like, you know, the first Iron Man when they had it in, I left when the credits started. Like, I didn't know till like 2-3 days later that Samuel Jackson showed up as Nick Fury. And I was so pissed. And since then, I've never left a Marvel movie. But it was kind of like, why would you stay? Like, this, like back then.
You know, it's funny. I never used to stay for credits until I worked at the movies. And then you saw how many movies had scenes after the credits that most people didn't know. And this is pre-internet, aging myself. But the one... So we stayed for Incredible Hulk. And that was before Iron Man, right?
No, that was after Iron Man.
And I was surprised there was one at the end of Hulk. And ever since, like, Iron Man, I think we just got lucky and just stayed. We're like, oh, okay. So, but yeah.
I could just imagine how the crowd would be like, you're watching that movie. It's the first, like, Marvel Universe movie. It's a great movie. And then all of a sudden, Samuel Jackson shows up talking about the Avengers.
Yep.
Like, I probably would have lost, because I remember when the Avengers came out and Thanos showed up. People lost their damn mind. And that's after been like, that was like the fifth Marvel movie. Imagine you're there like ground zero at the first one. So I'm not surprised Kevin asked that, because now it's funny, you got a website, you know, you can look like, does X movie have credits at the end? Mm-hmm. And it'll let you know without spoiling them, which actually it kind of comes in handy, because Darlena asked, like, you want to say? It's like, nah, I already know it's not anything there.
Yeah, I'll either hit you up, and if I don't get if we haven't seen it yet, I think Wonder Woman. Yeah, I had to tell you there was nothing. There was one movie, I was the one that told you there was nothing. But yeah, it's weird how that's become practice now, and it's funny because DC had during Suicide Squad. That's the only one I can remember.
Yeah,
because even Superman had nothing. And Superman Batman ended with The Rock starting to move on top of the casket, and then there was nothing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Suicide Squad had one.
Yeah.
So, and Wonder Woman one didn't have one. It's, and I think, as some people have said, it's kind of like, you know, that's Marvel's thing. That's why they didn't touch that. They don't do that. And it's kind of like, you know, that's their thing. They do it. They can do it better than we could anyway. And it's like, if we do it, it seems like it's played out, so we don't bother doing it. I forgot what studio that said that. But it was like, it was refreshing and honest, because you normally don't get that type of thing. And speaking of Wonder Woman, it's still making money. It's, you know, 700 million plus and counting. And it's weird how it's been making money. It hasn't been making money like a comic movie like now. It's been making money like animated movies and like comic movies from like the 2000s. That's why this lay's been so long. And it's been where it's almost like, almost half his money's been domestic, and especially like this day and age where global usually is like double to triple domestic. It's like it's strange. Like this movie might hit 800. Like, it didn't come out in Japan yet. Like, this movie might actually hit like $8 to $850 million. And considering like it started like, it's not like it came out and it made like 200 this first weekend, or like 185. It made like one something.
Yeah, it's made... All right, so domestically, as of the 5th, it's made $356,674,000, so almost $357,000. It passed Batman Superman domestically. In foreign, it's almost made as much here as it has foreign. And then the one that surprised me, and I'm going to keep going back to this, worldwide, Fate and the Furious has almost caught Beauty and the Beast, but where'd it go? Yeah, in the States, that Beauty and the Beast movie is still the top grossing movie.
Yeah. Was it like 500 or something like that?
Yeah, 503. And the thing is, did you see it?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's right. We talked about it. So besides you, you're the only person I know that has gone to see that, which is strange for a movie that's made that much money. That even just on accident, I should have run into somebody that's seen this thing.
I have a question for you. How many people do you know saw The Jungle Book in the theaters?
I think my parents saw that.
And that's probably...
That'd be it.
Yeah, like these Disney movies these Disney movies make bank, and it's like it's under the and the anime ones kind of like or live action ones are kind of like under the radar because like, well, who saw? Like, we went to see it. It was kids, their parents, their grandparents, and then like people like us. Like, and it was a full theater. It's like these movies make a boat. That's why they keep doing like these movies make a boatload of money. And then, but then you ask, cause like. When I went to work, I think I was the only person that, it might have been maybe two or three other people that went to see it. Like, Fast and the Furious, almost, like, half the people at my job saw that. Beauty and the Beast, maybe, like, a handful. And it's kind of like, well, who's seen it? Like, the people you don't hang with are seeing that.
Yeah. There's apparently a lot of people that I don't hang with then. It's just a surprise whenever I see that. But to get back to Wonder Woman, yeah. I mean, even just to go with it, I mean, Kevin just saw it on Monday. The movie's been out, a month almost now? At least?
Over a month.
Yeah.
I think it's like five.
So this reminds me of like The Dark Knight. It just stayed in theaters and kept making money. And the other one, Kingsman.
Kingsman was like that. And another one that was funny, Suicide Squad, was also like that. And that's still the weird one. Like, Dark Knight made sense because it's kind of like, you know, that's this whole, we got to change the Oscars because of Dark, like, the Dark Knight was a damn phenomenon when it came out. Like, it was just a damn, like, monster movie. Like, everyone, like, saw and everything like that. Like, that was, like, probably the first super big, like, event comic movie since... But the first Batman, like the Nicholson Keaton Batman, because I'm thinking because that was before like Dark Knight came out the same year Iron Man came out, I think, or am I getting mixed up? Well, it was around that time.
Let me see. Rises, no. Let's see. Dark Knight was July 18th, 2008.
Okay, so no. So what? If something else came out the same year, Marvel-wise, as Dark Knight. I'm trying to think which one it was.
Okay, no. That was 2008. That was Iron Man.
Okay, that's right. Yeah. I wasn't sure. I'm like, damn, because I thought Iron Man came out earlier than it did. It's like, yeah, so, you know, Iron Man just came out, so Marvel wasn't a thing yet. So, yeah, it was like, that was the big one. Like, Kingsman was kind of like... It was never number one, but it just was just in a movie theater. It felt like in there like 3 months. Like, it was always like top five, top ten, just hanging around. And Wonder Woman's been the same way. Like, it was number one for 2 weeks, number two for like, you know, a week, number three, number four. Like, it's just been hanging around, and people have been – movies that hang around like that, that's like people have seen it multiple times, or people telling their friends, and their friends are going to see it. Like, I saw it on a Wednesday, like for the – You know, I was just bored. I went to see it, like, on a Wednesday. Like, and it had been out, it's like, week three. And it's, like, Wednesday afternoon. And it's full. And I'm like, it felt weird. Like, and the crowd was weird because they were quiet. Like, they barely reacted to anything. Like, at all. Like, the first two times I saw, like, the crowd was into it and they was reacting to stuff. This time, like, they were just watching. I think they laughed, like, once. But it was a full, you know, it was like, and but then people walking out, they're like, oh, I liked it. It was a good movie. I couldn't tell by how they were acting, but yeah. So it's just showing like all this stuff about, you know, people won't see women movies, women directors. Like, if you make a good movie, people will see it. And women and little girls and stuff have been waiting their whole lives for something like this. And it's like, just give them something, especially if you give them a good thing. They're going to give you their damn money. And that's what this movie has proved. Is like, that whole, you can't have a woman headline a movie goes out the window. Because, like, you got this movie. This movie's making a lot of money. And I'm wondering, beside maybe Spider-Man, I think until Star Wars comes out, I don't think any other movies that's coming out after Wonder Woman's going to make as much as Wonder Woman.
Oh, what else is coming up still?
I mean, Thor still a thing.
Thor maybe only because it's got the Hulk. But even then, those are the two of the Ant-Man and that. But as a franchise, the weakest of the franchises, at least, Hulk and Thor.
Yeah, but Thor does well. And Thor does well internationally, which is partly surprising, but not too much surprising. Justice League, I'm real curious to see how that does. Like, really.
It's got the potential of being really good. I don't know if there's even going to be a middle road. We talked about it before. I mean, when the news broke, you're changing directors on a, well, I can't say blockbuster because they haven't had one before, but your potential, you know, your entire Lions franchise depends on this movie. And if it sucks, you can only make so many Wonder Woman movies, probably.
You know what's funny, though? We said that. I think Wonder Woman's success is kind of like, even if this movie's bad, they'll be fine. It's just going to be, because it's kind of like, it might be treated whole, like, as an individual thing by thing. It's like, it's funny where before it's like, you know, if this movie's bad, you might not have a universe. And now it's like, if this movie's bad, they might just write it off as like, well, it's a lot of mess, so I'm out. But I'll, because it's kind of like, you know, when if Aquaman comes out and it's good, people will go see that. People will always see Batman, like even bad ones. So it might be this whole thing where you go like pick and choose, like instead of like Marvel movies where you see all of them, it might be like, I'll see the ones that I know are good and the other ones I'll wait in here. Because even with Wonder Woman, it was a lot of this whole, I want to, you know, yeah, you fooled me three times, shame on me twice type thing. Like they were like waiting, seeing, even when they heard reviews and stuff. And that's showing why it's keep making money. It's like enough people have said it's good where it's like, okay, it's not good just because, or it's not good off of low expectations. It's actually good so I can go see it. So, and that's what this is showing. And it's funny where now it's like Justice League, I'm just like, it could be great or it could be a disaster. But whatever it is, I'm curious to see how it's going to be. Like, I have no clue whatsoever. And it's just the whole thing around is just weird where you got, like, two sides. Like, you got the one side where it's like, these people know what they're doing. And then you got the other side, like, I still don't trust them. And they're going back and forth. It's where the Marvel issue when Marvel first came out, except for they didn't have anybody as good as Kevin Feige. Like, now they might, but when they first came out, they didn't. Like, imagine Marvel movies and Kevin Feige wasn't around till the Avengers came out. That's almost how DC looks.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because I was just watching, I was just reading, right before we started, the Captain Marvel movie that's supposedly coming out in 2019. Apparently, Nick Fury's going to be in it.
Yeah, I've heard that rumor.
And I guess it's like one of those where there's smoke, there's fire thing. That's exactly how what I read said. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize he hasn't been around outside of a small snippet in Age of Ultron. That's it.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I just watched Civil War. No, I'm sorry, not Civil War. Winter Soldier yesterday. And
you forgot how much he was in it.
Yeah, and how integral he was, and that really how integral S.H.I.E.L.D. was to everything, and how that movie just changed everything about the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
And to him not be in it, and I hadn't read or seen anything about Samuel Jackson, like, speaking up about not being in him. But it occurred to me watching last night, which is just funny how this all came together, I'm like, wait a minute, where the hell, whatever happened to Nick Fury? Because he came back from the dead, supposedly, at the Age of Ultron, and then just disappeared again?
Yeah, because it's like...
With a helicarrier?
They haven't had movies where he fit. And the only one I can think of is Civil War. And, like, that movie had a lot of moving pieces as it was. And it's kind of like, I don't have... Like, you threw in, beside, you know, Captain America and his people and Iron Man and his people, you got Spider-Man and Black Panther. It's like, you got a lot of moving pieces in that movie. So... But beyond that, like, he didn't make sense to be in Doctor Strange. He wouldn't make sense to be in, like, Thor. I don't see how he could be in Black... be the only black actor that's not in Black Panther, which is going to be hilarious. Same with that. Yeah, like, Samuel Jackson works probably... He's probably in more movies than anybody in the damn world, and he's going to be the only one that's not in that. So I think it was more like the whole thing where the story didn't fit for him to be in there without him getting squeezed in. Him being with Captain Marvel, like, works. So I've noticed something, and it's funny you brought up Winter Soldier. that was the first one that's kind of like, we'll add character, like, they reinforce where we'll have Captain America plus a couple like a couple other people,
right.
Or we'll have like our main character plus, you know, like it's a team thing.
Yeah.
And you notice like they're doing that with Thor, which makes sense. And it's like, and it kind of like helps with that whole question. It's like, why is this person doing this by himself? Where's his friends? It's like, you can kind of kill two birds with one stone. Like, okay, his friends are there. Like, it's not just Thor. It's Thor and Hulk and Doctor Strange. And you have them around. You get to use them. And so it's like, it's like killing three birds with one stone, where the story makes sense. It builds up the movie. And you're using these characters, so you don't have to wait for, like, Doctor Strange 2 to be out. It's like, okay, you just saw Doctor Strange. You'll see him again if it's in the story. And Nick Fury and Captain Marvel kind of fits where, you know, he's not going to hog a spotlight. Because you don't want to have that whole, this first Marvel woman movie, and it's like, she's sharing the spotlight with a man. Like, if you had, like, him, if you had, like, her and Captain America. Like, Captain America can play a backseat. Iron Man, certainly, I mean, until we see Spider-Man, we'll see how that plays. It was like, I couldn't see him being there, like, you know, two or three scenes. But Nick Fury, I could see, like, being in the movie, but he wouldn't overshadow her. So yeah. That definitely fits.
Well, I can see that also, depending on how they bring her about. I mean, he'd probably try and rank, like, rustle her in, too. And try and get, like, a new Avengers initiative, or try to, hey, we got a group here, just something. I mean, I know he's not exactly a strict part of it, but... it's just strange that it just occurred to me yesterday, and then I saw that today. But I didn't realize Captain Marvel is slated for 2019. And it's funny, we were talking about it last week, how there are movies coming out in 2018 they haven't started filming yet. And I immediately thought, well, 2019, they haven't even started filming this thing yet. Which, yeah. I guess, hey, big deal. If you got a bunch of X-Men movies coming out next year, not one of them started production yet, or started filming, I should say. So,
well, Deadpool actually started, yeah. Finally.
And New Mutants apparently has started now. They started this week.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know where Atlanta is. So yeah. It's like, we'll be here. We just need a couple weeks, and then we can come back for reshoots. And it's just funny just thinking about, like, between that and the whole thing, is like they're building the next phase around Spider-Man. And we talked about that last week. It's kind of like... Yeah, I'm wondering how different Marvel movies going to look after these two Avenger movies. Because I got a feeling, like... with characters with, like, age and money, and it's like they've been kind of like hitting that, you know, some people may not be here anymore. Mm-hmm. And they might, one of them might rhyme with, like, Bobby Downey Jr. quote unquote. It's like, yeah. And the fact that they're talking about, like, you know, we're gonna build this around Spider-Man, which makes sense, and you got all these new people and these younger people. Yeah, I'm real. It's funny where you have a movie universe where they can reboot while keeping the same universe. So, like, it's like a restart where we have these all new people because the old people kind of, like, retired. And you haven't had that before. Like, that's the thing that kind of stood out with Logan. Is like, that's the first one where you had characters you remember and they're old. Like, they aged out. Like, imagine, like, Captain America as a janitor. Like, that's the thing, like, that's... I know, like, we hadn't talked about Logan in a long time. He's a limo driver. Like, he's an Uber driver. Mm-hmm. Professor X is singing Taco Bell commercials as an old, crazy man. And it's like, you haven't seen, like, you've seen stuff like, you know, alternate reality, or they pushing the future, like, 100 years in the future. This one is like, you know, it's the future, but it's not that far in the future. Just seeing characters you remember when you were young, and they were young, and seeing them old and, like, ordinary looking was... That was, even now I got on Blu-ray and I've watched it once, and I don't even like watching the movie because it's depressing.
Well, I got mine, and immediately my stepson said, hey, can I borrow this? I just got it. It's like, yeah, that's fine. I'll see him this weekend and make sure I get it back. But yeah, with the characters getting older, and especially, well, I'm wondering if this is just subterfuge right now to cover up the fact that he dies in it, but Chris Evans was even talking about how he renewed his he signed a new Marvel deal, not exactly to be another Captain America movie, but to, like, be Captain America in other movies. And part of me is like, well, that's a little broad, because you can have flashbacks with him in it, and Or have, like, just like Spider-Man, apparently, there must be there's a Captain America video when he's in detention, which looks kind of funny.
Yeah, I saw that.
So I'm wondering if that's how this is going to be, because, you know, he was the one that didn't want to do it anymore anyways, but, you know,
They kick Ike Perlmutter to the curb is what happened. Because you heard a lot of people saying, like, I don't know about this, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I like going to work again. And it was like, it was 1 + 1 = the answer. And the answer was Kevin Feige stole control and kicked him to the curb. And because we talked about that before, kind of like how, you know, Marvel movies, how they used to look and how Marvel movies look now, is like people say it's the same. Like, it is not the same. Like, they don't look the same. They don't act the same. They're not directed the same. Like, and the people that got kind of pushed out are like back. Like, you know, you heard. We talk about John Favreau. He was like, the hell with this. Like, he bounced. And the fact that he came back when he didn't... And he didn't have to. Like, all that money he's making doing those Disney movies, you don't need to do a, you know, executive producer do anything. Yeah. He's showing up in Spider-Man acting. Why? Like, he doesn't need to. So when people do stuff that they don't need to, they like doing it again. That shows, like, you know, they fixed a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff. Basically, like, Black Panther would have never happened the way it happened if Ike Perlmutter was still in charge. It wouldn't have happened at all. And it definitely wouldn't have looked like the way it's looking now. Like, it wouldn't have been a snowball's chance in hell. Like, it... And if there's any doubt, like, Marvel movies are different, you can just point that one out. Or Doctor Strange being as weird as it was. Like, what's this weird drug stuff that you put on my on my movie screen? So, yeah.
Okay. This is going to be way off topic here. This has nothing to do with movies. It has to do with American folklore. And you may not have even seen this, but have you seen this supposed picture of Amelia Earhart in Japan?
I have seen it. I have heard and, like, read a little stuff about it, like, saying it's proof that she's, you know, she landed somewhere. Okay. Like, she's...
Where is she in this picture? Who am I supposed to be looking at? Because all I see are dark Japanese people and then somebody facing the ocean.
That's her.
Oh, obviously. Is that seriously? That's what I was thinking was, that's supposed to be her, I'm pretty sure. All right, well, end of conversation, because this is going downhill quick. What kind of bullshit are people trying to spin on this? I had to blow it up repeatedly to even figure out, like, oh, that's her. It looks like every, like, midshoreman that was that went into the military back then, the skinny country guys that got recruited that you see in, like, all the old historical documentaries and that. I don't understand. I don't get this. And this is on the History Channel, really? The photo was discovered in the National Archives, though its origin is unknown. Independent analysis, analysts, Jesus, have confirmed it appears legitimate and undoctored. Okay. Supposedly pictured seated on the dock, her back facing the camera. What? Oh, okay. So apparently the Japanese, along with her navigator, Fred Noonan. All right. The leftmost edge of the dock. All right, so let's see this again. So apparently her navigator's there, too. All right. Oh, yeah, I totally see it now. You know who Fred Noonan is?
No,
yeah,
I do not.
Exactly. So it's her navigator, and apparently he's on the left side of the dock.
Hidden by the dock of the bay.
I mean, I don't understand. Like, I understand the fascination with people who just disappear like that, never be heard of.
Maybe it's the girl in the hat.
No. That they even said it was the person with their back to us. And that's convenient.
Well, what is this like? Yeah. That could be Paul Walker for all we know. It's like, come on. I've seen enough movies where they film stuff standing, like, you never turn around. It's like, oh, that's such and such. He's just not looking at the camera. Like, give me a damn break. Somebody just let it. And it's like, even if it's her, you can prove it. So what? Like, you know, she's not alive is the point. Like, she's still, even if she survived, she'd still be dead at this point. Like, it wasn't like she was six when she took that flight. Yeah. So, what the hell? Like, what? Yeah, so watching, the whole thing, like...
I was watching a documentary on the Rockefeller kid that apparently went to go hang out with the natives in Africa and either got killed or just became one of them and disappeared. All the documentaries about that. And at the end, they had a spoiler. At the end, they had a picture of a white guy hanging out with a tribe, and it's supposedly him. And I'm like, well, I guess it would be kind of rare back then, but at the same time, not that much.
Yeah, like, there's been colonialism for the longest. Like, did you walk up and ask them?
Like, to be quite honest, I can understand if they didn't, because they were like, the way they were looking at the camera, I hope that was a long-range lens back then. They did not look like they wanted anybody there. But I guess the gist of that was, which is pretty interesting stuff, but the gist of it was the cannibals ate him. Because they still, I guess, the tribes they were around, they were still performing cannibalism as like a rite of passage or a show of strength. Like, oh. And that's why you stay away from those things. Because, anyway.
Yeah, mind your business.
Yes.
Is how that goes. Like, everyone just want to be like sticking their nose where it belongs. And like, just because you bring a cup of sugar doesn't mean you belong there. Mind your business and focus on yourself.
Yeah. Oh, our delivery driver looks way more delicious than this cup of sugar does. So,
So speaking there, that was definitely non sequitur.
Yeah, it just reminded me
the whole thing, like kind of like Tupac's not dead. He's really in Cuba. It's like, yeah. I'm sure somebody would have snitched by now. I'm like, that sounds nice. So, but speaking of which movies. So we had talked about wanting to see Baby Driver, and yeah, one of us saw it, and one of us didn't. Are you planning on seeing it?
Yeah, I still plan on seeing it. So,
okay. Yeah. So I won't spoil it. I would just say that it's a very enjoyable movie. And it's funny where I'm not really an Edgar Wright fan. Like, I know people talk about him, like, you know, like he's an amazing director. He's funny. Like, I've watched a couple of his movies, like, I've never been a fan of that type of humor, like that whole snarky, meta-aware type. Like, Hot Fuzz was cool, but I wasn't like, oh, this is so great, because like, it was making fun of stuff, but you can tell it's making fun of stuff that it loved, and it was too cute for school stuff. I've never really been like an embrace like that, so I didn't think I would like the movie as much as I did, and it's enjoyable. The casting was awesome. I would say this offhand. I'm trying to talk about while being spoiled. Like, the casting was top-notch. And I think that definitely helps the movie. John Hamm was finally used right.
Okay, yeah. I forget he's in there.
Yeah, and we talked about that, like, the whole thing, like, they figured out how to use him perfectly. It's kind of like the whole joke, what would have happened to Don Draper if he was still alive and had a serious drug problem? And you find out the answer in this movie, and I'll leave it at that. So... But yeah, definitely go see it. Like, you know, great soundtrack. Like, it's kind of like a cutesy movie. It's like it's a movie doing movie stuff, so you have to have a certain mindset for it. But I'm not a bigger fan director than some people, and I enjoyed it. So there you go.
All right. Sorry. There's the dogs are freaking out on me. So while you were talking, I had to put her outside real quick. So, all right. No, I plan on seeing it. John Hamm's a weird actor because he got so much, like, positive praise, whatever else, for Mad Men, but he hasn't been done. He hasn't. What else has he really done that's gotten anything positive? He was on 30 Rock.
He was the town. He got positive stuff, but he was kind of like a supporting. He was like the third or fourth like lead in that one. Black Mirror. He got shined for that because he was good in that.
Oh, okay.
So real, real good. It was kind of like,
what was Black Mirror? It sounds familiar.
It's an it's like a dystopian anthology British show on Netflix. somebody else put me on. Like, it's up your alley. Like, it's a very creepy show. And it has a lot of actors, like, that's since popped up in stuff you've seen. And they've had people, and then it's kind of like the first season is like people that might have been unknown then, but are known now. And then, like, later seasons, you see people like that were like John Hamm pops up, or Alice Eve is in the episode. Like, it's a, okay, first episode, I can describe how basically be a spoiler, because there's no way to spoil this. It involves, like, you know, like, I think somebody got kidnapped or something. Like, somebody blackmails. Basically, it leads up to a situation where the Prime Minister of Great Britain is forced to have sex with a pig on TV in order for the good of the nation. And yeah, it actually happens. Okay. And it's the aftermath. Like, the whole setup, like, you know, you got to do this, and people like argue, well, is he actually going to do it? How? They try to fake it. It's like, don't try to fake it. Don't try to Photoshop. And yada, yada, yada. Like, you know, you got to actively do it. And, like, yeah. So it's that type of show. Like, it basically uses kind of, like, technology that's not here but could be here in horrible ways. Very creepy, horrible ways. Like,
all right,
yeah.
I was wondering, because I've seen that suggested to me on Netflix, and kind of just, I don't know, didn't bother with it. So maybe I'll check it out then. Not saying that seeing a guy have sex with a pig is a selling point, but it sounds pretty screwed up. So,
oh, it is. It was the whole thing. Like, it was one of those shows where I heard people talk about it, and I didn't really pay any mind. And then I think somebody in my circle recommended to somebody. That person recommended to me, and I'm watching this, and I was like, I'm glad they recommended that. I was mad. Like, I wanted to punch him in the face. Like, watching a man have a sex with a pig.
Yeah,
like where does that go in my life? Like, some certain stuff you watch, and it's like, if my mom walked in here and watched me watching this, what was she thinking for son?
Yeah.
And I try to avoid stuff. Like, I'm a grown man, and I try to avoid those type of, like, certain things. It's funny where I don't even watch certain anime anymore, because it's kind of like, would you watch this in public and be comfortable? You like, you wouldn't be like the whole, I know it's the whole respectability politics thing, but you don't be like, I'm a grown man, I can do what I want. Like, yeah, I still wouldn't want to watch tentacle porn around a group of people just because I pay taxes.
You,
like,
know, all joking aside, who does, I mean, why do you, I know everyone's got their kinks, everyone's got their thing, their weirdness, whatever, but where in the hell did that come from? And how did it become a thing? Because, like, it goes back to, like, the origin of things in general. Like, my big thing is food. Who's the first person that was like, I want to eat that? And then the other two, or other person, whoever, or maybe they're by themselves, were like, no. But then you're like, no, seriously, I tried this before, you try it. And now all of a sudden everyone eats oranges, to put it in, like, the easiest terms. But something like this, how do you just come up in conversation?
Yeah, I actually know the reason, because it's actually a specific reason why this came, because of censorship issues, where you know how you watch Japanese porn, or maybe you don't know.
No, I know. Like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, like, they blur out the genitals. So since you can't show that, you can show tentacles. So somebody's kind of figuring out, like, I want to show penetration, but I can't use the old-fashioned way. How am I going to get around it? And they probably was walking by the beach and saw a squid, and it's like, a light bulb went off.
Oh, my God. You know, I understand. I understand that, okay? But, again, you know what? We're guys. And, yeah, never mind. I mean, that makes sense, I guess. But just the fact that it's, like, become a big thing. Like, it's, I mean, maybe it's not socially acceptable over there. And maybe just over here, it's just like, oh, yeah, it's tentacle porn. We're over there, it's like, oh, my God, did you see the new, like, the new squid fucking video or something? I mean, yeah. It's just,
you know what? Japan is very different, and then it's kind of like
very polite.
No, it's not even that. It's like, it's Japan that, and a lot of it comes from where, like, and even Japanese people say, like, Americans are kind of like 20-30. They seem like they're like 20 years behind how they think Japan. They still treat Japan how it used to be, and not necessarily how it is now. Like, Americans haven't really necessarily caught up. So stuff that might have been in vogue then, they don't do anymore. But you wouldn't know, because it's kind of like, we're still thinking it's like, you know, Black Rain with Michael Douglas or something like that. Or like, you know, a Sean Connery movie, like Rising Sun. Like, oh, it's about honor, and it's still bowing down and drinking tea, doing a bit, like, eating sushi off a girl. And it's like, we're going to McDonald's. Like, what are you doing? We're not, no one's trying to be a samurai going, you know, going to the Geisha Club anymore.
Well, maybe those videos could use a samurai.
Yeah, it's like, you know, we're going to see Fast and Furious. Like, it's funny where Tokyo Drift probably did a better job of being current with Japanese culture than a lot of these quote-unquote big-time movies that, because, like, people don't, it's the same thing we do. Like, we get a lot of our culture based on what we see on TV. And if you haven't been in a place and you haven't read about it, how would you know any different? That's why even African athletes or, like, you know, still people, like, they talk about how people still make jokes saying, like, they think you rode an elephant to school. It's like, it's 2016. My parents were rich. We drove up damn Benz to school.
That'd be more fun to ride the elephant to school.
Like, yeah, like, imagine somebody came over here and was like, oh, I'm surprised. I thought you'd rode a horse to work. Like, you're a damn cowboy. So, like, you'd be like, what are you talking about? I got a Prius or a Tesla. No, I'm not riding a damn buggy. I do not live in Brooklyn. Like, what are you talking about? So, it's kind of like we still do that because we don't know any better.
Yeah. No. I was had another question, but since we're on Netflix right now, I mean, well, we're not, but going back to Netflix, apparently Luke Cage comes out next year, and they've just hired two new people.
I saw that.
Is it Mustafa Shakir? Is that how you'd say that? And mm-hmm. Gabrielle Dennis? Or Denise? Yeah, Dennis. All right, so I don't know these characters. Bushmaster and Nightshade. Now, Nightshade, to me, was a Suicide Squad character. So the fact that's an actual Marvel character is kind of surprising that they share, you know, share the name. But Bushmaster, no, I got no idea who that is.
Yeah, I don't either. Like, I guess we'll find out. It's kind of like I'm at the point where I don't necessarily, you know, I'm not necessarily in a rush to find out. Like, finding out stuff is, like, cool because it gives you background. But if I don't know, I can wait for the show to come out.
And
it's funny, like, I had a conversation with some friends, and they get on me because it's like I'm more laid back with certain things. Like, even if something I don't like, I don't let it bother me too much. And I think it dawned on me is, like, I think a lot of it's my job. And it's like I have a job where – whatever, it may sound like humble brag, but fuck it. I have a job basically where, like, if I don't do my job correctly, people could get hurt or die, mm-hmm. and that's, like, on a daily basis. So it's like I can only complain so much about Zack Snyder or Vince McMahon book, and it's like, yeah, it's a thing, but is it really that big a deal? Like, for me, it's not that big a deal. Like, it is or it is. It's basically like this whole thing, like, it is or it is, especially when you know the reasons why. It's like, okay, like, that's fine. And that's how I kind of like go into entertainment. It's like, I love my entertainment, but it's not life or death. It's like, okay, for a lot of things. And I know when people get arguments like, oh, this ruined your childhood, or like, no, molestation ruins childhood, divorce ruins childhood. Like, yeah, if Michael Bay does a shitty Transformer movie, it just means he made a bad Transformer movie. Like, one, the Transformers cartoon was not that good, and two, I could still watch it if I want. Like, unless he went in a time machine and kidnapped my dad, Michael Bay can't ruin my childhood. Like, I'm a grown-up.
Yeah, like, it's not possible to retroactively ruin, like, something that's gone in time. So, you know, if that's where they want to go with it, damn it, I lost my page. Anyways. Yeah, that whole thing, I don't see it written too often anymore. I think now it's more like an ironic way.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, at least it's getting past that.
Yeah, it depends on what it is and where do you go, I think. Now, because it's kind of like, it's nerds. Like, it's fun, like, the fan was, like, stuff that used to be considered nerd culture is, like, popular culture. And it's, like, this whole thing where you got the one crowd that's kind of resentful of it, where it's, like, these nerds won. You got the nerds that are kind of resentful because, like, I was here from day one. Like, basically, Uzo, I was here on my day one-ish,
yeah.
And now you want to come and be fake. And then it's the one saying, like, you know, yeah, I'm glad you're doing this, but I would have done it that way. And then it's like, if you don't get the details down to the letter, then get out my face.
Yeah.
Like, it's still that go on, but people say, oh, you know, the eyes at the wrong angle, or they got the shade of the color wrong, and then I'm like, you do it. Like, part of me, and it's kind of like, I don't want to get on them, because it's like, if you love something, you want it done correctly. But it gets to a point where it's like, okay, these movies have bigger budgets than almost anything out. They can hire what almost any director and any actor they please. You've won. Like, do you not remember? And it's a whole, like, maybe it's like a, like, it might be an age where you don't remember how bad it was. And I know people like say, oh, well, no, man. I'm like, it's still, like, we are both at the age, remember, where movies used to be horrible. Like, even the big budget ones. Like, I love, like, Batman and Batman Returns, but if it came out now, can you imagine, like, they did what with who? And the storyline, like, yeah, you watch Batman Returns, he killed, like, at least four people. Like nonchalant. Like, he set one on fire with the Batmobile, blew another one up with the bomb, like, and it was kind
of
like...
Wasn't there something else when he was surrounded by part of the, was it the Red Triangle, Red Circle, Red Triangle Gang? Whatever they were. Wasn't there, like, a whole group, and, like, one guy caught something, and it exploded as well, or something bad happened to a group of people? So, yeah, no, you're accurate, totally accurate, but I think four may actually be too little. And he straight up kills the Joker at the end of Batman.
Yes.
Well, he just tied it onto him. Where do you think it's going to go?
He killed that and, like, two of his goons. Like, he threw them, like, damn, like, 50 damn stories. Like, oh, he just stepped out the way of one. I'm like, yeah, he didn't try to catch him or stop him either. And, like, he tossed the other one. So, like, yeah, Batman's been murdering people since Tim Burton had a pen and a pad. And it's kind of like, that's why I never got mad. Like, Ben, oh, I can't believe Ben Affleck did. I'm like, where y'all been? Like, Michael Keaton was doing it. They definitely murdered Two-Face in Batman Forever. And Christian Bale, this whole, you know, I didn't kill you, I don't have to save you. Like, that's still a damn murder. Like, if you see somebody dangling off a bridge and you walk away, you know what I mean? It's not like you stepped on his hands, but you didn't pull him up either. Like, let's be real. So, but people are kind of funny, like what path, like, what's the line that, like, you cross this line and you lost me type thing.
So you mentioned something with the Usos, and I missed SmackDown, so I had to go back and watch. Now, this isn't my thing, so I'll ask you, but even though you said last week, like, new rap's not your thing either, the rap battle between the Usos and New Day, that really didn't seem like a rap battle. It was just them saying mean shit about each other, and then, of course, you know, it's wrestling, so you gotta get into fisticuffs after, but I was entertained, but is that what the new rap battle is?
Yeah, no, that's basically a rap battle. You just didn't have a beat. That's why.
All right, that's what I was expecting.
Yeah, and it's like they don't always have beats. Like, some do, some don't. And I will say this about this: the Usos slaughtered them. Like, it's like, I'm, you know, like, I still listen to rap, like, so I keep up with it. Yeah, that was a one-sided ass whipping. Like, seriously, like, you know, New Day got a few lines at the end, but yeah, and it's funny where it's kind of like, it's been a microcosm of their whole feud where New Day been coming in, just been cracking jokes and looking at Usos like, oh, y'all cute, hottie, ha ha, we can get the belts back when we won, aren't y'all precious? And Usos have been like, we don't have time for your corny ass jokes, we're gonna put these damn hands on you next time we see you. And as popular and as charismatic as the New Day is, the crowd, you can see how you can see the crowd kind of gravitate toward the Usos that just keep coming up. So it's like the Usos coming in nine deep, like a No Limit video, and the New Day come out with Axel, you know, comes out. What was the wrestler that had the...
I missed, why did they have, like, Adam Rose's Rosebud?
Yeah, like...
Is it just because they're supposed to be that way now?
It's kind of like everything's a... They don't have that edge they used to have, like, when they were heels. And it's kind of like... Because even when they were heels, they do jokes, but they still beat you up and jump you. Like, they still had that viciousness and pettiness every now and then. Now it's kind of like, you know, oh, it's cute and it's fun. And I will say this. I laughed my ass off when they made the reference to Xavier Woods and his whole video escapades.
Okay. I didn't get that one until just now.
Yeah, all the right. Crowd definitely got it, because it's kind of like they dropped the line, and I was like, ooh, and I caught it with the quickness, and they kind of looked at Xavier, and it was like, and it's the second time they kind of brought it up without being direct,
yeah.
And it's like, this funny where we live in a world where were they in, Phoenix?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Like, Phoenix not necessarily a smart crowd, but enough people kind of knew about that to react, and it's enough people that know something like that. It's like, that's a thing, and they let them say that. Like, we've talked about how SmackDown's like the asshole, mm-hmm. asshole show. But even then, it's kind of like, it's still like, you know, TV PG or PG-13 or anything like that for the sponsors. It's like, yeah, making references to a leaked sex tape, you wouldn't think you see that in, like, WWE. And, like, somebody signed off on that. Like, they just didn't say that because, like, if you say that and you don't get permission, you could easily get in serious trouble. It's like, nah. So somebody was like, okay, that's cool, and went with it. And, yeah, like, that was – and it's like SmackDown is funny where you watch it and then you realize, like, wow, the show about to go off. Like, it goes by very quickly. And that's what I like about SmackDown. And they build everything up and make you care about stuff.
So that wasn't the last segment, was it?
No.
Okay. I didn't see the show. I had to watch all the YouTube highlights. So it was all disjointed. Probably the Battle Royal was last, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And the right guy won that, so it didn't, you know. But no. And I was just curious about that because I enjoyed it. And I'm with you on the Usos. But I always gravitate towards the guys who just come out and say, you know, I'm just going to beat your ass, or I'm not going to play around. I mean, even The Rock, as entertaining as The Rock was, his theme was, you suck, and I'm going to beat you up. It took him a while to get there, but that's how it always ended. I mean, Austin always, and that's why even, not to, you know, turn this into wrestling talk, but that's why I'm loving the Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman stuff. It's just two guys who go, all right, this week I'm beating this guy up. That's all it is. And now they're just going to apparently beat the hell out of each other until one can't get out of an ambulance.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that moonsault spot, I don't know if people realize how – I'm talking about he didn't really rotate. Do people not realize how difficult that is and how easy – like, lay on your back and let a 225-pound barbell just come down and kick it.
Without are you talking about the Apollo Crews thing?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was nuts.
I saw that, and I was like, I almost like you would have thought Michael Myers just came in my living room. Like, I acted like, would jump, like, what the hell did I just see? And they show us so much. I'm like, that's amazing. Like, people don't realize how amazing that is. Because Apollo Crews isn't tall. Mm. He's a stocky, thick dude.
Yeah.
It's like, he's had some weight, and I made a joke, like, if he did that to Akira Tozawa, Tozawa would have been in a different state by the time he landed. Like, he had assistance, but he kicked the crap out of him in mid. He kicked a grown man in midair, laying on his back.
I'm just trying to figure out how they went over that spot. Like, who came up with that? Because, I mean, if it was Tozawa, sure, lighter guy, you know, may make it look easier, but Cruz is not small, so that was nuts when I saw that. That got me to shoot up, and usually I'm pretty bored by the end of Raw. So, and it was funny. I will say, in this match, though, I didn't think Cruz was going to win, but his comeback after Titus got him going, and he like actually knocked Braun to his knees. I was like, wow, this is really working actually, because even the crowd started kind of getting behind Cruz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like Cruz is the rare guy that going from SmackDown to Raw was a benefit for him, because it's when that Titus thing worked, mm-hmm. like it's working, like, and especially when he shows up on 205, like him just being there and talking about is making that title match between Tozawa and Neville important. And you would, let's kind of like, it's funny where he's the manager and he's bigger than everybody in his stable, but mm-hmm. and it's funny thinking about that, you would think, like, you know, I remember when it first played, I was like, I don't know about this, but it's working, because it's kind of like they go from not wanting to be around them to reluctantly going with it to actively going with it. It's kind of like you're winning them over, and the crowd, because Apollo Crews on SmackDown was dying. Like, he barely didn't have anything, and now it's like, you know, people care about him. People care about Suzawa. So I'm curious to see more people. Like, yeah, I'm looking forward to that, and I'm loving the Brock Lesnar Samoa Joe stuff. Because Samoa Joe,
that's all it is. Yeah.
And not only that, Samoa Joe's the first, because everybody's been fighting, like, Brock Lesnar's like, yeah, he's tough, and he kicks ass, and yada, 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 I'm going to do my best. Samoa Joe's like, I don't care about, I'm jealous. I want his schedule, I want his money, and that's why I'm here. Like, this whole thing is like, how dare this bully take my spot? I'm supposed to be the big bully. Mm-hmm. And basically jumping Brock and choking him out and, like, going to, if I wasn't a smart fan and knew how they were going in the future, I could actually believe that Samoa Joe could beat Brock Lesnar this weekend. Like, it's that's funny how much they built the match.
Yeah, I think Cam, I don't get on Twitter much, but I just happen to see this. They, when they do their East Coast show, their poll, that there was a lot of people that actually voted Samoa Joe winning that match Sunday. Which, I mean, I guess is, can be kind of a misnomer, because he can win by disqualification or countout or something. But I always expect when people do that, that they say that they're expecting to win the title. And I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen. But there's still that part of me that thinks, well, the way this build has gone, and we already know, like, you know, be like those insider guys, if Brock thinks there's money in something, he'll keep it going. So if he thinks he can get some more out of Joe and make some decent money out of it, he may drop it or, you know, make himself look vulnerable so that they have to have some more.
You know what I think happened? It got over bigger than they thought it would. I think it's like a Goldberg thing where it's like,
because
it's kind of like, I was surprised when Joe won because it was like, you thought they would save that. And then it's kind of like, okay, like, because when you thought about people who fight Brock Lesnar, Joe's name comes up because, like, he's a guy you can see going toe-to-toe because he looks like a monster himself. And they booked him, like, equals. Way more, like, you remember the stuff, like, when Dean Ambrose was feuding with Brock? Like, this is a damn joke. Like, they did Dean Ambrose no favors with that. And even Dean Ambrose said that. Like, you know, I was basically wasting my time. Like, I wanted to make something better. And they, like, nope.
Well, it was funny because they had that video package where Brock was talking about it. He's like, you know, when I'm out here and it's just the next guy that comes up to me and I just take care of them, or they're not worth my time, this and this. And they were playing the Dean Ambrose match. And I was like, that was from two WrestleManias ago.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't find somebody else in the meantime, which, thinking about it, no, they couldn't, actually. Because it was Dean into Goldberg.
Yeah, basically. Because it was kind of like, It was Dean Undertaker Goldberg.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Yeah. It was,
you're not
going, like,
to have Undertaker in that video.
Yeah, so it was just funny where they are treating him like an equal of Brock, and it's like, and they've been booking some old, like, I still love that whole thing when they turned the mic off and had him, like, they had the small mic, had him pick up when he's like, I'm about to choke you out, and this is what I want to do, and like, he basically told him what he's about to do before he did it, like a Michael Mann movie. Like, he was Robert De Niro. Like, you know, this is how it's going to go down. This is what I'm going to do. And this is why I'm doing it. There's nothing you can do about it. So don't take it personal. He choked him out. And it's kind of like, and then on Brock's side, like, it's funny because it made Mojo look like a badass the way he did it. But then Brock is like, I'm supposed to be frank because you choked out Paul Heyman. Like, he got a damn point. Like, yeah, you choked out a fat manager. Whoop-de-damn-do. Like, good for you. But it shows kind of like he got his payback by choking out Brock. And I always get frightened when Brock's face turns red and pink.
Yeah.
Like, that's still, like, that's just a great visual. Because, like, he's, I don't know if it's like a blood flow thing or just his complexion. But it really, like, when somebody turns colors, it makes the move look thin. Like, he's really changing colors.
Yes.
I guess a chokehold really would work because, like, yes, he's turning him pink. He's almost purple. Like, wow, you normally don't see that in real life.
And I remember when he first came back and he was changing colors like that, that people were actually like, he's got something wrong. But it's just, he's pale.
Yes.
So, like, you see, he's pale, like, and 300 pounds of muscle for the most part.
Like, you know how you see people that's blonde and, like, only his hair blonde? Like, Brock has blonde eyebrows. That's Kung Fu villain shit right there. Like, mm-hmm. people normally do not have eyebrows that are blonde. Like, his eye sockets are lighter than the rest of his face. Like, his eye sockets are, like, blonde and his face pink. Yeah. Brock Lesnar's Brock Lesnar's a caveman. Like, now, when The Rock called him out Albino Gorilla, he was not making jokes. He said that for a reason, because that's what Brock Lesnar is. Like, he's an old school caveman, complete with... I would never mess with a man with blonde eyebrows that had natural blonde eyebrows. Like, I've seen enough Kung Fu movies. I've seen enough Kung Fu movies to know how that turned out. Like, no. Have a nice day. I have no problem with you. Like, yeah. So, I'm definitely looking... Like, the name of the pay-per-view is still stupid. I'm definitely looking forward to that match.
Yeah, that was... It's still, and it's like, if you're going to lose a title, at least lose it at Great Balls of Fire so that when they never use this name again, people will just think it's a joke. But, how much time we got left today? Let's see. We went way long last week. Oh, we can get a little discussion. Finally finished GLOW. I forgot to tell, I think I told you. I forgot.
No, you didn't tell me.
Very enjoyable. That show, it took a little bit to get going, but then once they got in, they actually got into the characters and... like you said, the one paid off, but they gave some of the side characters actual, like, reasons to actually care about them, which I thought was missing in the beginning, but as it went on, yeah, it was pretty evident. I really enjoyed the ending because I didn't see that coming. Like, I obviously she was going to wrestle at the end, but I did not see, not Ghetto Queen, the hell's her name? Welfare Queen. They did the whole swerve. Now, I was confused, though. So did Sam know that was going to happen? Or did she just go into business for herself, and he's like, hey, that's the way it works?
I think it was he put a swerve on them, because he didn't know that they had that plan with, can't think of the characters, I always call it Captain America and the Russian. Like, they had that planned, and they didn't tell anybody. I think once he saw that, he kind of caught an audible. Like, he did some Paul Heyman stuff. And he loved how he explained it, because it's kind of like, oh, you know, because they were like, why'd you do this? Look at the story we told. It's like, oh, yeah, the white blonde American woman wins again, yada, yada, yada. No one saw that coming. It's like, people saw this. It's kind of like, they want to see the, it's not about, they want to see the chase. That's why I had her win. Like, yeah. It's funny where the whole thing, it's a perfect wrestling thing. Like, you could tell people involved with wrestling had, you know, had input with this. Because mm-hmm. it felt, like, realistic. And they treated it, it's kind of like they took the farcical parts of it, but they treated it seriously. Like, they gave respect to it. And you could tell, like, they were basically saying, it's like the first show that, like, did wrestling the right way.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, because usually, like we talked about before, like, movies is either, like, you know, they treat it as a joke, or they treat it like, you know, the after effects. Like, the wrestler wasn't necessarily about wrestling, it was about the effects that wrestling had. Like, it's almost like one of those HBO documentaries, like, this is why I shouldn't be a wrestler. You know, like, I'm signing autographs, I'm dating a stripper, I don't get along with my daughter, I hope I don't have a heart attack, I used to be famous, now I'm broke. It's like, hey, why would I want to, like, watching this, why would I ever want to be a wrestler? Like, it does not seem like it, like, you know, I'm sure, like, the heights were great, but the fall looks tragic. Like, no thanks. Like, this one is kind of, like, explain why people get into it. Like, the whole light bulb when she went to the match, and it's like, oh, it's like a soap opera. And showing, like, why they were doing what they were doing and how she was whooping and hollering. And it's kind of like, that's the stuff that, like, Dave Meltzer talks about, kind of like, you know, what was missing, let's say, wrestling. Now, like, people used to really get into, like, the old heads, especially, like, you know, stunt grannies, like, grandmas used to really get into it. Like, really get into it. It's kind of like, and it wasn't this whole, like, they didn't know it was fake, and they got into it because, like, it told a story.
Yeah.
And when you do it right, you care. Like, I remember, I'm a grown man that knows the deal, and I remember actively, like, cheering and booing John, like, that Rock and John Cena match. That's the first I went to WrestleMania for the first time because The Rock came back. That's I spent the money I bought. Like, I had always thought about it, like, you know, I could watch it at home. When he came back and it was like, you know, he's gonna wrestle John Cena, I'm like, I'm going to be there. I don't care how much money I got to spend. I don't care what I got to do. I'm going to be there. And no feeling would beat, like, I'm hugging an 8-year-old girl from, like, she was there from Sweden, Ireland. And, like, high-fiving people from, like, Europe that came there to watch The Rock beat John Cena in The Rock's hometown. And, like, the way they built the match and everything, too, it's like, it actively made you care. It's like, when wrestling works, that's when it really works. Like, you care about what's happening. You root for somebody to win or you root for somebody to lose.
Yeah.
Like, it's telling a very simple story. And that's what the whole show was. It's like, it's from the perspective of Allison Brie. You think she'd be the hero? Like, no. She's the villain of this. And you wouldn't think that, like, they would go that. And then you know how it ends, like, you know, like, are we cool? It's like, you know, we haven't reached that point yet. I like that.
I loved that.
Because it was realistic. It's like, you know, small steps.
Like, I honestly, when that happened, I was like, oh, no. Because everything had been pretty close to the vest. They kept things pretty real. Yeah, they had the outlandish stuff, like him taking the girls to his mom's charity event and that stuff. Mm-hmm. That was a little silly. I mean, it worked. But it was still based, like, you know, the mom's like, give me that checks, because that's fraud. And then gave him the money. So when that happened at the end, I was like, God, they're not going to go down this way, are they? And when she said, we're not cool yet, or we're not there yet, I'm like, oh, I guess I shouldn't have underestimated the writing on this. Because there were some questionable, maybe the wrong word. The abortion episode, that whole thing just came out of the blue. Like, I understand that it was supposed to be a way to show the relationship between her and Sam's his name, right? I was going to say Mark Maron, but the show, it's like there's a deeper relationship there, and it had some funny stuff. But it just came out of the blue. And then it was never talked about again.
I mean, why would you? I mean, something like and, that. Normally you don't. It's funny because you don't see stuff like that. It was showing how they play, like, you know, it was a deal, but it wasn't this whole, I'm going to lose my mind. It was kind of like, you know, it's something I got to take care of.
Yeah.
So I'm taking care of it. And it's funny where, I mean, I always make jokes like when you see sex scenes like that, you never see people put on condoms. I'm like, I'm surprised everybody not pregnant.
Yeah.
When, like, these movies and TV shows. So the fact that it had consequences and show, like, her dealing with it and, like, him being there, like, yeah.
I really enjoyed the fact that when they were talking about, like, all the reasons they didn't want to have kids, she was like, yeah, it's just, you know, I'm her husband. Blah, blah. And he goes, well, we also really hate kids. So I was like, oh, my God, that's perfect. Because Mark Maron put enough of his, like, his comedic or his stand-up performance into his character while at the same time being someone totally different than the personality he really is, even though I don't think a lot of people get that. So to have him running lines like that just cracked me up. And especially when he's going to go get a donut or whatever and then decided not to. It's like there was still enough of the darker humor like that I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the relationship blossoming because of that.
You remember you was wondering about the girl and the pizza dude?
And yeah, I didn't see that coming. Probably should have saw that one coming.
I didn't see it coming either. And then when it came, it was like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, and it's funny where, wow, like, stuff like that happens in real life, though. And it's funny because the show felt real. That's the one thing I felt about, like, you know, like, it felt real in a way that some shows don't. Because, like, certain stuff, they seem like, you know, you watch shows, like, people don't talk like that.
Yeah.
Like, everybody talks like, you know, they're arts major, especially when they're, like, 9 years old. It's like, no, this is a writer doing this, trying to show off their vocabulary, or somebody that watched, you know, Seinfeld and 30 Rock. It's like, you might have one person that talks like that. You don't have everybody that talks like that. It's like, where the hell do you work at? But this one, it kind of felt like these are, like, lived-in people with lived-in lives, and it clicked. Like, I was shocked by how much I liked it, and I was pleasantly surprised, like, how well it was done. And did you catch that? I didn't even realize though, after the fact, it was Brodus Clay and the other guy was Carlito.
We didn't mention that last week. Yes, that was Carlito.
Yeah. I'm like, what gym did he go to?
Well,
like,
also because he had his hair down, which didn't help.
Yeah, I'm like...
I haven't seen him since he left WWE.
I haven't either. And he looks... You know how people look different? He looks different. Like, he must be going to the same gym you go to. That's the first thing I was thinking when someone told me, like, wait a second. Like, I remember Carlito wasn't he was never like a big husky dude. He just seemed, it's funny, like, he always seemed like a regular size, regular body guy that was like sneakily athletic but didn't look it.
Yeah,
he fit in. It's funny where he'd fit in a lot better now than he did then, like body wise and body type.
And it, I didn't bat an eye that it was like that would be her brother, because Ed Brodus was like, you know, the bigger guy than him is like the muscular dude, and the dad was a big guy too. So yeah, it was funny seeing Brodus in there, because just knowing like WWE missed the boat on him, and Carlito, he just left, didn't he?
It was he. They wanted him to go to rehab, and he didn't want to, so he left.
Oh, it was one of those things. All right, I didn't know that. I thought yeah. He was just like, the hell with you guys.
No, it was this whole, it was the wellness. That was during the wellness era when everybody was getting popped.
Okay.
And that was a real, it's funny, people don't talk about it anymore, and I know a certain person won't mention, they still like, you miss the good old days, and it's like, I don't, because it's like, it was some rough time. I even like, ECW time, like all the people from the ECWs were dying, like the 2000s. It was like when people were getting popped for drug abuse and liver enzymes, and just, yeah, like WWE used to be like a sneakily depressing time frame. Like that post attitude, like I want to say from what, 2006? It's like maybe 2010, 2011. Like, there's a lot of weird shit that was going on. Like, beside the whole people dying part, like, even people that were alive, like, you know, we got to send you home, or you got to go to rehab, or if you don't go, we got to send you home to go to rehab because we don't want you dying in our ring, type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, stuff you wouldn't even think about, like, now, like, was a thing. Like, you wouldn't think about, oh, you know, we got to send Roman Reigns home because he got a cocaine problem, or quote-unquote, he's fighting his demons. But back then, it's like, yeah, we got to send Kurt Angle home. We don't want Kurt Angle to die. We don't want Jeff Hardy dying. And these were, like, world champions, like, big names. Like, yeah, not we don't want you dying on our watch. Like, that's amazing in hindsight, thinking about that.
And the way that, well, we actually talked about this on, I think, Stunk Randy Audio 400. I think it was 400. Whatever 100 marker it was, Eric and I were talking about how the site, like, we used to be real snarky and stuff. And we always had things to talk about because wrestlers were messing up left and right. And you don't get that anymore. There's no deaths. There's no arrest for being stealing from a pharmacy and because you need your oxy or whatever. You're not getting that anymore. And I think that's a direct response, one, to WWE's testing, which people will still say is a sham. But then also putting all these old wrestlers and paying for their rehab. Now, it hasn't been a total success for everybody, but it's been a success for a lot, as proven by, hopefully, the amount of people who are still alive. And, yes, I know you can also come back and say, well, this is the life that WWE created for these people, but there's still something to be said for going back and, like, you know, trying to, if you want to put it this way, trying to correct your mistakes and helping people live a healthy, or at least a better life. I don't know about healthy. And then there's always the people that just aren't going to be helped. And because you can't until you do. So, or you do want help, is what I should say. But
yeah. And the whole thing I always say, people, like, you know, about maybe this, you know how I know I'm thinking the test is on the mark is, one, how people look in the ring, like body wise. And then, two, the fact that people who got knocked, like, Roman Reigns got suspended. Like, Eva Marie was their star when we get pushed, and she got suspended. And she never came back because she discovered, hey, I can make movies and make money.
Mm-hmm.
Peace. So it's like, it wasn't kind of like this whole, oh, they got Funaki, or they got the guy from The Ascension, which they did actually get the guy from The Ascension. It was the whole, they got Roman damn Reigns, like, the star of the thing. Like, their biggest full-time star they had got suspended. Rock and Stone Cold never got suspended, like, you know.
Oh, boy, they would have.
Yeah, definitely, because it's funny, especially Austin. It's like all the stuff he went through. And always, it's funny we got to the subject, and it's kind of like we brought imagine if social media, you know how social media is now. Imagine how it would have been back then. Mm-hmm. Like, all the stuff we hear about now, like the stuff with, like, especially, like, Steve Austin. Like, he like Michael Jordan, he lucked the hell out coming in the time he came, because history would have looked at him a lot different if Twitter was around and people knew, like, if people knew what they knew, like, then, and it was like, you know, you could talk about it all the time. A lot of people, like, The Rock, Rock was wrestling with a jumpsuit on.
Yeah.
As world champion. That's an amazing thing. Like, and it was kind of like, and it never crossed my mind that this was weird until I'm like, wait a second. That's something the Sandman would do, like an ECW. And I know why the Sandman does it, because he drinks beer. He does crunches with beer. That's why. Like, how the Rock get it? I'm like, and then he's like, you see the Rock in a jumpsuit wrestling Mankind with sweatpants. And I'm like, how the hell did this pass through? How did this pass the sniff test and nobody said anything?
No. I because, according to many, Vince didn't care. And, you know, encouraged whatever behavior was going on, as long as you're at the shows. And by encourage, I mean silence is encouraging. Look, turning the other cheek is encouraging. That, or, like, encouragement, I should say.
Yeah.
Depends on who you believe. So,
I mean, I'm not that surprised, yeah. But it's, I always laugh now where The Rock's in much better shape in his 40s than he ever was as a wrestler in his...
Is that Samoan shape?
Well, it's funny, no, because I will say this. Once The Rock, like, once he became babyface, Rock got in real good shape. Especially up, like, right up to he looked like he was... Rock was cut. He was walking around with, like, a six-pack and, like, everything. Like, I won't be the person to say, like, The Rock was always looking around looking like he had a whole bunch of water weight, because it got to a point where he's in super shape, but he was not as, like, muscular as he is now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it's funny, like, and it seemed like Triple H is in better shape now than he was, like, 10 years ago.
And I think a lot of that has to do, a big part of that has to do with not being on the road.
Yeah.
When you can take care of yourself, you get rest, you can sleep in your own bed and all that, well, maybe not for The Rock, because apparently he works all the damn time, but for Triple H especially, you know, he goes to an office job in Stanford the rest of the week, and he can work out whenever he wants. And having money gets you the best trainers and the best nutrition as well, which is always one of those things I laugh about when it's like, I got my beach bod, some celebrity. It's like, all right.
Uh-huh, fit tea, huh? That's all it took.
Yep. All right, let's get out of here on that note. So, but yes, next week we will definitely go over Spider-Man, since we're both going to see it this weekend. And then we'll see if Joe wins Sunday. That'll be quite amazing. So, just follow us on anything, Stunt Granny, on all social media. That's how you can find the podcast. You can also find that we watch stuff as well. And, yeah, I'm out of here. So take it easy, guys.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahidu. I'm me. Apparently, I don't know my name. And that's how we're going out today. We are out.